As a Christian, it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to become rooted and grounded in our faith.
You may or may not like my jokes. You may or may not like something I say. And really what I say is not all that important. But what is important is that in this message this morning, as with every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, it's not just a verse or two. There's 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 verses, because the power is not in me, and the power is not in you, and the power is not in our opinion. The power, my friend, is in the Word of God.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society, but as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong.
Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called A Rooted People.
Notice in Ephesians 2 and verse 20, it says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." And so the apostles, they were givers of the revelation of God. They were personally called by Christ. They performed miracles in the name of Christ and under the power and authority of Christ. They had what we would refer to today as apostolic authority. That is not something that I possess, nor does any man possess that today, including the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. There were 12 apostles, and when they died, that apostolic office passed with them. Then notice there are these who were called prophets. Prophets were God's spokesmen, like those in the Old Testament who spoke forth the word of God, like those in the Old Testament who heard and spoke what God wanted them to say. The New Testament also had prophets who were necessary in laying the foundation and revealing the truth to this early New Testament church. Now let me say with the apostles and prophets that their gifts were revelatory in nature. By that we mean that they revealed God's word and God's will to the church. They spoke the word of God. Apostles and prophets spoke the word of God. Now today we as Bible-believing Baptists believe that the canon of Scripture has closed and that our divine revelation comes from the word of God. We believe from the book of the Revelation that we're not to add to or subtract from. We do not deny that there were apostles and prophets who gave revelation, including the revelation that I hold in my hand this morning, but we do not believe in what is called continuing revelation. We do not believe that God is continuing to speak through men in the same fashion that he did with the apostles or in the giving of the word of God. We, for example, as Baptists, do not have a prophet today who says, "Thus saith the Lord." If I'm going to tell you what the Lord has to say, I'm going to turn you to chapter and verse. If you're with me so far, say amen. All right, so we believe the Bible is God's final authority. Now, in contrast, frankly, there are groups that do not believe that. There are groups that practice continuing revelation. One, in contrast, for example, would be what is so-called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or sometimes referred to as the Mormons. And I want to read to you from their Encyclopedia of Mormonism, the History of Scripture Doctrine, and the Procedure of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, copyright 1992. And this is the direct quote. "Latter-day Saints claim that God spoke and manifested himself not only to persons of biblical times, but also to the people in the Book of Mormon, and that he continues to speak to his people through revelation today. To the Mormons, God is still a God of continuing revelation. Hence, the LDS canon is open. The doctrine and covenants become the official open-ended locus for revelations that affect the whole church." Now, that's obvious to someone who's just studied it kind of at a distance even. It's kind of obvious if you have the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, and a prophet in the church in Salt Lake. And you see, the Pearl of Great Price teaches that Jesus Christ was just a man like us who became God. The Bible teaches in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We believe that Jesus Christ eternally was God. There's a big difference there. But when you consider the prophet of the Mormon Church, for example, or the Pope or whoever else would claim this authority, you begin to realize that, for example, there was a time when they could not drink certain things, now they can. There was a time when black people could not be members of the church, now they can. And all of this is due to a continuing revelation and God continuing to speak on certain matters. How many of you thank God that He has spoken once and it has been recorded in the Word of God? Now, I just wanted to take a moment there because apostles and prophets were a distinct first century office. But now then, now that the Bible has been given, and now that the prophets and the apostles have had many of their words revealed and recorded and canonized in the scripture, how can we grow and be rooted as a people? Well, that is through the impartation of the Word of God. So let's notice some of the modern day offices that are spoken continuing in this same day in which we live. Notice it says here in verse number 11, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers or pastor teachers. The evangelist is one that brings good tidings, sometimes seen as an itinerant preacher going from meeting to meeting. Also, I believe the evangelist is a man who can go to a city or a village and preach Christ and raise up a group of believers and organize a church and maybe go to another village and do the same thing. Sometimes we call him a missionary. Then the Bible refers to the pastor teacher or the pastor and teacher. And the Bible says of this particular office that the pastor is a shepherd and the pastor is a teacher. And it says he, Christ, gave to the church the prophets and the apostles and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers. Look in your notes at Acts 20, 28 and 29. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. This is written to the pastors. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. God says to me as a pastor teacher that I'm to feed the flock because there are grievous wolves who would come and pull you away. And you need to be strong, and you need to be ready, and you need to be fed. And so the path is a path of impartation, and the tool is the Word of God, and the preacher, teacher, is to give forth the Word of God so that we can be strengthened along this path, rooted and grounded in Christ. And so the pathway involves the impartation of Scripture. Secondly, it is through continuation, or for our continuation in the Word of God. We are to receive the imparted message of the Word of God so that we can continue. Now listen here, the devil doesn't want you to continue. He wants you to get discouraged about your recent trials. He wants you to fall by the wayside. He wants you to be someone that no longer is in church. You see, there's a lot of people who when they move, they kind of forget God. A lot of people, when they go through trials, they don't continue. They're not faithful to the Lord. But look at verse 12, please. It says, for, all right? Why do we want to stay on this path? Why do we want to stay on this path? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, these servants were given the opportunity to perpetuate these Ephesian Christians to continue their faith for the next generation. Now, please understand something as I preach this morning. Christianity is but one generation away from extension right now. If I do not continue on the path of receiving and sharing the Word of God, then one generation from now, and many parents have given up on family devotions, given up on church, many churches are having fewer and fewer services, more and more entertainment, less and less preaching. And if we fail to pass the truth to the next generation, America will soon no longer be a Christian nation. Very simple. If we intend for our nation to be a Christian nation, if we intend for the work of God to go forward, then we better stay on this path of continuation. So it says in verse number 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, some of you say, well, man, are we failing miserable because there are no perfect saints at Lancaster Baptist? That is the truth. But the word perfecting doesn't mean perfect like you and I are perfect. It means maturing. It means here for the maturing, for the equipping of the saints. And you'll notice in verse number 1 of this chapter, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You see, God doesn't view you primarily as a nurse or an accountant or primarily as a secretary or a teacher. God views you primarily as His servant. And he says, I want you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you have been called. So I'm going to give you a Bible, and I'm going to give you a pastor, teacher, and some evangelists to impart to you the word of God so that you, first of all, verse number 12, can be perfected. And by the way, this idea of continuing the faith and maturing the saints, that's why, for example, we have a Sunday school ministry. And that's why in our 50 adult classes that just convened an hour ago, we teach the Bible and we encourage people to be faithful around the word of God. And we do that on Wednesday night in our one-on-one discipleship, one man with another man, a lady with a lady, and so forth, teaching and continuing the faith and propagating the truth. That's why we have Lancaster Baptist School. And I thank God that they receive Bible training, and they still pledge the flag, one nation under God, and they learn in science class, in the beginning, God created. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to mature them and train them and help them to be their generation, for their generation, what God has called them to be. That's why we started West Coast Baptist College. It is a teaching arm of the Lancaster Baptist Church. We do not apologize for training young men and women in the Word of God to know the doctrines of the Word of God, to take the message of Christ to the uttermost part of the earth. That is why we exist as a ministry. And the list goes on and on. Why? Because we are commanded by the Word of God to help people mature in their faith so that they can continue on the path we call Christianity. And if you don't continue growing and gleaning, you're going to start going back and falling off of that path and not going where God wants you to go. I thank the Lord for the educational ministries of this church. I'm saying children need it. High schoolers need it. Moms and dads need it. We need to continue along in the maturing of our faith for the perfection of the saints. Notice secondly in this verse number 12, it says, for the work of the ministry. Now, once we are growing in our faith, God wants to begin involving us in the work. If you think the work of the ministry is just for the pastoral staff, you don't understand the Christian life. Look at, I don't know exactly where you live, but God put you on that street because he has work for you to do. I don't know what cubicle you use at work, but God put you there. So it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. There's somebody that God wants you to tell tomorrow about Jesus. There's some stand that you need to take with the school board. There's some stand that you need to take for God. And he says, I've given you the Bible, the church, and the pastor to help mature you so that you can do the work that I have called you to do. Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. You see, the great churches of the first century had a work of faith. And then notice in verse 12 also, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. The edification of the body of Christ. Now, let me tell you something. God has given pastor, teachers, and the Bible for the perfecting of the saints so that we could do the work of the ministry and so that we can edify the body of Christ. Now, listen, everything going on in society today is to tear you down. The television tears down our morals. And many times people at work and relationships are trying to get you to skip church, not go to church. And many times you're being pulled away from the things of God. And what we need is to be built up in the things of God. We need to be edified in the things of God. I need to be edified. I need to read the word. I need to hear preaching. I need to be built up. And if I'm going to continue for God, then I've got to be edified and you've got to be edified. And my friend, when God is edifying your life, don't take that for granted. When you are growing as a Christian, that is a privilege and a gift from God. And so the path of growth is a path of impartation. It's a path of continuing, perfecting, maturing, growing, edifying in our faith. And that's exactly the will of God for our life. But I want you to see, secondly, the priority of growth. The path of growth is a path of learning. It's a path of preaching and teaching. It's a path of sharing. But I want you to see the priority of growth. Why do you need to grow and why do I need to continue to grow? Look what it says in verse 13. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, God says, I want you to keep growing because my word is going to bring you into the unity of the faith. You see, the word of God, if it is preached and obeyed, is a word that brings unity. Lancaster Baptist Church is a church that has great unity because we have great commitment to the Word of God, and the Word of God is more important than any other person's word, and we do not have those who are claiming that their word is on an equal par with Scripture. My word is subservient to the Word of God. Your word is subservient to the Word of God, and Lancaster Baptist Church is a church of unity so long as we recognize the priority and the preeminence of the Word of God. And he says here, I want you to come into the unity of the faith. Now, our faith then is based in the Scripture. And let me tell you what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Listen, friends, if we're going to have the Word of God in our heart, then we're going to be growing in a righteous path. God says, I'm going to use my Word to help you grow in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. There's that word again, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, if you haven't figured it out by now, we believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God. That this book is a God-breathed, supernatural book, and that it has been given to us so that we can learn it and grow from it, so that we can stay on the path of our faith, and so that the priority can be the unity of our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if we as a Christian people, and if we as a local church do not have this commitment, then we will lose the next generation of young people if we're not sharing the gospel with them. And you can't share it with them if you're not growing in it yourself. We can't teach it if we're not growing in it ourselves. We need to recognize today that we have a responsibility to grow ourselves in the Word of God and to grow the next generation in the unity of our faith. And it's time for Christians to stand up and to grow in our faith and to know exactly what the Bible says and to stand up for the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. Oh, my friend, the Bible teaches us that we're to be steadfastly continuing in the apostles' doctrine, that we are with one mind and one spirit to stand fast for the faith of the gospel. So the priority today is the unity of our faith. And oh, I want you to understand how we need that unity in our homes and in our church today. Notice secondly, though, the second priority, that's the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Look at this verse again, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay? The knowledge of the Son of God. Now listen very carefully. Did you notice the Bible does not say the unity of the faiths? The idea that you're going to get all the different faiths to agree on Jesus is ludicrous. The fact is that the unity of our faith revolves around who Jesus is. And you'll notice that in verse 13. It says in verse number 13, the knowledge of the, what's the next phrase say? The what? The Son of God. Who is Jesus? Say it with me. The what? Colossians 2:2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the fullness of the assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. Listen. The world, in order to be saved, must acknowledge the mystery of God and the Father in Christ. Someone says, I don't understand how Jesus could be a part of the Trinity. I don't understand how Jesus could be called the Son of God. Hey, I don't understand everything about the Trinity myself, but I believe it because the Bible says it's true. I believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, an equal part of the Trinity as the Son of God. And the priority of our growth is so that we can know our faith. And so that we can preach our Christ and share our Christ with a lost and dying world. Because we're here to tell that story about Jesus Christ. And we need to stay strong so that we can keep telling that story. Well, notice the path of growth. Notice the priority of growth is Jesus. Then notice thirdly with me and very quickly the permanence of growth. I don't have a lot of time left, but I want you to stop and consider with me. God doesn't have a 7-year warranty on the Christian life. Or a 2-year, or a 5-year, or a 10-year. It's a forever warranty. Amen. And he doesn't want you in the best bar in Lancaster when he comes back. He wants you living for him when he comes back. And I want to speak to you for just a moment about the permanence of walking with God. I do everything I can to help married people stay married. I do everything I can to help teenagers love Jesus and stay in love with Jesus. And I want to do everything I can for the next few moments to help you understand that the Christian life isn't designed to go just so long until you get offended about something and then quit. And it's not just so long till you get your problems fixed and then quit. God wants you to stay on this path of growth until Jesus comes. Now notice what it says in verse 14. That we, henceforth, from right now forward, be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So God says, if you're going to permanently grow, first of all, you've got to be prepared. It's going to be through preparation. That you are no more like a child tossed to and fro, but that you are being prepared by the Word of God. That's why we encourage our young people who attend Christian school and many times 1 year of Bible college to get a foundation laid so that they can defend their faith, so that when they are ridiculed, and many times they are in the secular schools, that they will be able to stand for their faith. If they are going to permanently make it in this world, they have got to know what they believe and why they believe it. And so we must give them the teaching of the Word of God. Secondly, it's through precaution. They need to be warned, and we all need to be warned. Look at verse 14. It says that we will be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Because the devil in cunning craftiness is lying in wait to deceive your 16-year-old. And the devil in cunning craftiness wants him to believe in evolution and wants him to turn away from that which is normal according to the Word of God. And the devil is doing everything he possibly can to derail Christian young people today from serving God. And we need some precaution. Hey, we need some warning signs. Hey, we need to get to church where we have not just a little jam session on the guitar, but where the Word of God is preached and where we are warned that we are living in a day when the devil wants to pull us away. Because we're to be sober and vigilant and watchful. Because our adversary, the devil, wants to carry us away from our faith. We need that precaution, you see. Humanism calls them, relativism, evolution, all of it telling them that God's word is not true. They need to learn how to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Then thirdly, we're going to have to understand that permanence comes as we persevere in the truth. You say, well, I've had some trials and my husband doesn't come to church with me. My wife doesn't come. My family's not what I thought it would be. Hey, you're here and I want to challenge you. Don't quit. Stay true to your God. And look what it says in verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Notice that phrase. Speaking the truth in love. I want to encourage you. Keep speaking the truth to your family. Keep speaking the truth to your neighbors. Listen, your friends at work, they're not ashamed about what they did at Vegas yesterday. Don't you be ashamed about where you are right now. Just speak the truth in love. I'm a Christian. I'm glad that I know the Lord. I'm not ashamed of it. Speaking the truth in love. The path of growth is the Word of God in the local church. The priority of growth is that we might exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. The permanence of our growth comes only as we persevere in the truth, speaking the truth in love. And I want you to pray today. Listen to me. You as a 40, 50, 60-year-old person today, are you growing? And are you helping someone else to grow? And I want to say today, if you're a parent, how many of you have kids still at home? Let me see where you are. Listen, stay in that battle. Fight that fight. Stay on the path. Keep growing yourself. They're going to ask you questions. Be ready to give the answers. And let's realize today, God wants us to be a rooted people. Let's stay on the path of growth. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time to open the Bible and to learn about the path of growth. And I pray now, Lord, that you would help our church not to be a church that just comes in for social reasons, but that we're here, Lord, to learn so that we can change the way in which we live and the society around us and help our children and our children's children.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you.
If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.